Welcome to the BCI's Business Continuity Awareness Week podcast 2021. My name is Reena Singh from the Resilience Pod, and I'll be your host in this series as we explore this year's theme, Business Continuity Starts With You. I'll be talking with some of the most experienced professionals in our industry, discussing the importance of raising internal awareness, some of the key challenges, as well as some tips, methods, and techniques we can all take away. Today's episode is centered around embedding BCM with my next guest, who is responsible for leading the delivery of operational resilience, business continuity, and crisis management for her current organization. She is passionate about encouraging the next generation of resilience professionals. And fun fact, she used to be a professional actress. Talk about career capital, because she puts those skills to use as an industry speaker, and I am so excited to introduce you to our next guest, a celebrity, might I just add, Sarah Garrington, BCM
Hiya.
manager. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Now, before we just like
Good.
literally get into this embedding BCM, I had no idea you used to be an actress, so I'm so intrigued about that and excited.
Yeah. What an introduction. I mean, like you say, it's a bit of a career change. But I think I realized after doing it for a few years that acting doesn't pay the bills. Unfortunately. But yeah, so I ended up taking an office job, which led to BC. I don't think anyone wakes up, do they, when they're like seven, and goes, I really want to be a BC manager when I'm older. So that was my little digression.
I love how you were like an actress and then you became a business continuity professional. Like,
I
random, but love it. We're so stoked that you're in our industry and we're talking to you today. Guys, if you're listening and you want to know more about Sarah's acting career, well, you're just going to have to message her separately, because today, as I mentioned, the episode is all about embedding business continuity in line with our theme. So, before we kind of get into the details about it, Sarah, what actually is embedding?
So I think for me, embedding is making sure that resilience and business continuity is considered in everything an organisation does. So it's really kind of getting it into the grain of the culture of an organisation. And I think that, to be honest, I don't think you'll ever get there. I don't think it's like a goal. I think it's something that's continuous, that you're always kind of continuing to embed what you do. So I think it's about really kind of making sure that as part of the kind of culture of the organization, you have kind of resilience as a key consideration.
Love that. It's quite important, isn't it? And I like how you said, yeah, it's not, you don't do it one time. It's a constant process, very in line with the BCI's life cycle too, isn't it? So it's something we often forget.
Yeah, I think it is something that people, I think, assume that it's like a box-ticking exercise, but it's absolutely not. It's something that is continuous, and it is something that you need to kind of consider all the time, and not just, do once and then go, well, done that, move on.
Yeah, that's so true. And actually, like, I don't know if we think as practitioners and professionals think about it constantly. I know it's not on my mind constantly, but it might be. So with that said, and I think my next question kind of flows nicely onto this, like, why is embedding important? And I guess one of the things you're going to say is, well, to think about it all the time, but what else?
So I think for me, embedding is really important to make sure that as an organisation, you've got that culture of compliance. So when I say a culture of compliance, I mean that we're constantly thinking about kind of resilience, but it's really something that people do just without even thinking about it. They kind of raise issues. They go, oh, there's this project going on. Has anyone considered consulting our kind of business continuity or resilience team about that? And it's about kind of really making sure that as an organization, people do kind of think about resilience and business continuity all the time. And I think without that kind of, like I say, culture of compliance, without that, I don't think that, you know, as an organization, your any steps that you take or anything that you do to kind of move your organization forward, I don't think it can be considered to be truly resilient unless people have got that kind of mindset already embedded. I also think as well, it's quite important because if you've embedded, you know, business continuity resilience throughout all levels of your organization, and that includes people that maybe are client facing, if you're not in a client facing role, it means that, you know, people have their conversations with clients. They kind of just drop in that, you know, oh yeah, we do this and we, you know, we've got a resilience program. Have you thought about it? And not only is that kind of additional service kind of opportunity and conversation that comes up, but it also kind of helps increase your client confidence that, you know, when things like a global pandemic comes out of the woodwork, that actually, you know, you're there to support them and they're not going to be kind of scratching their head worrying that you're not going to be able to provide the services for them.
Yeah, some very fascinating points there. So, listeners, embedding is important if you hadn't realized that already. One, a very good reminder. So, thanks, Sarah, for that. Have you, in retrospect, then, had any challenges with embedding business continuity or creating a program to embed business continuity?
Yes, 100%. I think
Was going to say, if you
that,
didn't, I'd be worried.
yeah, I think that, you know, it's a kind of constant challenge in that there's so much change going on and there's so much information that, you know, everyone's kind of battling for space in people's minds. And, you know, trying to kind of get people's attention can always be a bit of a challenge. And not only get people's attention, but to kind of continuously get people's attention. You know, it's really easy, I think, to just kind of run one lunch and learn, and then, you know, people have had some sandwiches for an hour and then they go away and forget about it. You know, it is a challenge to make sure that people are consistently thinking these things through. I work in a legal firm, and, you know, it literally is like time is money. So, you know, trying to get people's time to actually just have a conversation with you sometimes can be a challenge. And I think unless people really understand the benefit to them and why they're being invited to this meeting, you know, what you want to talk about, they'll never be on board with what you're trying to say. You really need to kind of hook people initially without them, you know, without them even really realizing that that's what you're doing. And then they will kind of want to pay you more attention.
Yeah, that's really good. I like the point where you said time is money, and I guess that's very apt for your profession, like your industry that you're in terms of legal. But actually, we can all take learnings away from that.
Yeah.
How do you approach that? Like, do you create a document that says, here's the benefits? Like, do you spell it out? Like, what did you do in that particular case?
I think one of the things that I try to do consistently is keep it fresh. I think if you try and you know, regurgitate the same information, the same kind of points time and time again, people get really bored really quickly. And I think generally if people are kind of, like I say, hooked and engaged, they'll be more kind of open to taking your ideas away and actually thinking about that stuff kind of in the future. So for me, I think it's a challenge, but it is also something that I think can kind of help remediate that. But it is to kind of, yeah, keep it fresh all the time. You know, don't just kind of stick a poster on the kitchen cupboards once a year. Do other stuff that actually kind of, you know, we've all seen a post, haven't we, that's like, oh yeah, you know, GDPR is really important and, you know, cybersecurity. And absolutely everything's really important, but you know, there's only so many posters that people can look at and actually kind of absorb. So I think trying to keep it fresh is so important, and making sure that you're kind of delivering something that's maybe flexing your approach based on who you're engaging with. I think you've got maybe people that are like at an executive level, they just want five or six bullet points, short and sharp, that just says, this is what I'm doing, this is why it's important, and this is what I need from you. But then if you've got somebody that maybe works in change, business change, they want to understand why they need to consider it in part of their kind of project management documentation. And, you know, it's really about kind of flexing your approach to make sure that you are kind of engaging with the right people at the right level. And I think that that's a really easy way to switch people off, isn't it? If you're trying to either not giving them the right information or giving them the wrong level of information, I think people just, yeah, are very quick to just kind of go, oh, you know, I'm not interested, come back another time. And do you know what I mean? It goes back to that hook again, doesn't it?
And actually, it's funny you say that, because I was going to ask you a follow-up on that is, well, it actually is a one-size-fits-all. It doesn't feel like it, does it?
No, I don't think so. And I think that people learn in different ways. So having a variety of approaches, I think, is really important. So you get people that, you know, like visual learners, so maybe the poster works for those people. Then maybe you get other people that are, you know, kinesthetic, they like to do things. So actually, you know, maybe running a lunch and learn, like an exercise that talks about, you know, how stuff has gone wrong in you know, a made up organization, and talk through how you would fix it, that might work for more kinesthetic people. You know, it's about kind of flexing the approach, like I said, dependent on the sort of level individual that you're dealing with, but also, you know, making sure that the approach that you take is actually open to all sorts of learners, all sorts of roles, all sorts of, you know, parts of the business. And I think that unless you have kind of, like I said, nailed that kind of keeping it fresh and managing that kind of complete program, because it is a program, it's not just kind of one thing that, like I say, you just do once a year and just check a box. Yeah. I think it's really important to keep that fresh and to make sure that you are kind of coming up with new ideas. I think it's quite creative, actually. Like, I don't think that, you know, in our kind of industry, there's not a lot of kind of room often for that kind of creative outlet. And I think that the embedding element can be, because you really can think outside the box.
Absolutely, 100%. That's my favorite part, because you can have some fun with it.
Yeah. And I think that it really is that kind of time for you to, just like come up with something that's really, like, you might consider a bit daft, but actually people in a business, you know, life's really serious and people take life very seriously. So actually let's have some fun with it and make what some people might take to be quite a dry subject, let's make it fun, because you'll never engage people unless they think it's fun.
Quite right. So in your industry, just to follow up from that, what are some of the things that you've done in the approach you've taken to embed, like some examples of how you've embedded business continuity?
So I think I have done the poster. I'm not one that's never done the poster. So I have done the poster. But also I think I've done things where, you know, you have lunch and learns, but actually building in a kind of exercise, I think, is really helpful. And I think there is a bit of a blurred line sometimes between validation and embedding. You know, you know, validation is making sure the plan works, but also, you know, you can actually use it as an opportunity to make sure that everyone that's in the room gets business continuity and understands their role. And, you know, you're kind of, like I said, blurring the line a bit. So I have actually previously run an exercise. So it's like a lunch and learn, and then at the end it's like, here's an organization that an incident has happened and they're doing terribly, what would you do differently? And then you can tag on how your kind of organization does things. So I have done that. And I think interviews are a really nice way to make it you know, come to life a little bit as well. So, you know, every company I think has their own kind of internal platform, like an intranet or a Yammer page or whatever it might be, and actually do either a video interview with the team so people know who you are, or just even like an article interview. I think that's another nice way to kind of bring it to life again, because then people see you as people and not just robots that dust off a plan once a year.
Absolutely. These are some fantastic ideas, and you can get so creative with it, even if you have no creative bone in your body. Well, Sarah here has just given us loads of ideas, so no excuse for our listeners to say that there is no ideas. Now we've talked about what is embedding, why it's important, like challenges you face, like the approaches you could take, examples, but what some of the things that we often don't think about as practitioners is measuring and defining what a successful embedding program would look like and what we want to achieve from that. Any insights on you on what that could look like?
I think it's, as you said, I think it's quite difficult, isn't it, for people to kind of actually measure success, and particularly in this sphere, because, like I said, it is creative. It's not necessarily like data and kind of binary. It is something that is more kind of flexible, I suppose, in how you can kind of define success. I think it's really important to kind of consider how the business works when you are kind of defining what a successful embedding program looks like. So if you've got an organization where people do repetitive tasks, it could be that they've identified a risk and it's somebody that doesn't even know who you are, but they've contacted you to say, oh, something keeps going wrong. Do we need to do anything about it? Or is this an incident management situation? And like I say, those people that don't know who you are, you've never engaged with them, but suddenly they kind of speak to you and you kind of go, oh, like that's a great point. Let's follow up on it and let's have a conversation. I think you'll feel it when you start to kind of have meetings with people. You'll feel that it's kind of going well because actually you're not having to spend the first 10 minutes of every meeting going back over things that why we're here, what is business continuity, what's our crisis management approach, because people already know. So you're actually in the meeting, you're hitting the ground running without having to kind of go back over what we would kind of call the basics, really, every single time that you're speaking to people. I also think it's almost like multiple streams, isn't it? Because we've got embedding, like I said, in change management programs, just generally across the business. Also things like procurement activity. So when people are starting to actually think, oh, what recovery time objectives do we need to be built into the contract with this supplier? Or kind of do we need to kind of have a more in-depth due diligence questionnaire rolled out because this particular supplier is like critical? I think those are all things that you can kind of use to measure success. But like I said, I think it's more of that kind of feel that actually you're not having to kind of go into meetings and start telling people all the basics every single time you meet with them, that people just get it, and then you can kind of just, have a more kind of efficient time together.
I've been violently nodding. I know you can't see me. To this in agreement and getting all these like flashbacks from running exercises and sessions and BIAs and whatnot, and having to go through the this is business continuity, this is what it means for my business. And actually, I really like what you said, that actually, when you don't have to do that and you could just get into the session, that's a very good measure of success. Fantastic, Sarah. I think that's something that I've not really thought about it like that. So thank you so much for bringing that to light.
No worries.
I am sure our listeners are going to be taking excessive notes in this session. So, looking at like now we kind of have an understanding of what some of the success factors could look like. And I know you've been working on a huge embedding program in your current organization. What's been your biggest surprise to date come out of this?
So for me, I think the biggest kind of surprise that I've had has actually been when resilience has been used as like a catalyst for change. So I think it's almost like the coin has been flipped. So rather than it being something that's an add-on, that something goes wrong and then kind of people go, oh, maybe we should do something to fix this, it's actually where, like I said, it's turned on its head and suddenly we're in that situation where people are saying, actually, this isn't as resilient as it could be and something hasn't gone wrong yet, but maybe actually we need to do something to address that. And I think that was actually quite a nice surprise to me, to actually feel that maybe that had been a successful kind of, embedding activity, because people were thinking about it before something goes wrong. And I think in a world, like I said, where everyone's kind of you're battling for people's attention, with all the other change and all the other programs that are going on, for somebody to proactively think, we actually need to change X because, it's not in that kind of resilient space that we would like it to be. For me, that was quite a nice surprise that actually showed that we're going along the right lines and that we are kind of getting the message out there. And I think it's, like I said, it's not something that stops ever. It's something that you're continually, trying to get people's attention. Even if you're just thinking about like new joiners, to a business, how do you engage with them and how do you make sure that, they kind of get the information around your kind of resilience program to the level that's suitable to who they are and the role they fulfill. You know, but I think, like I said, it was a really nice surprise for Cindy just to, come out of the woodworks and just say, we're thinking about, implementing this project because we've seen that it's not as resilient as we think we'd like it to be. Mm-hmm. So can we engage with you on that? And that was actually really nice. Positive surprise, I think, to kind of come out of there. I also think that some people that you maybe, or I certainly didn't think were engaged, and actually it's quite a nice surprise, isn't it, when suddenly you have that meeting, like you say, you do your BIA or something with somebody, and they suddenly go, oh yeah, I remember this from last time, or you see them getting a coffee, whenever we're allowed to do that again, you see them getting a coffee, and they just kind of go, oh yeah, you know, I was thinking about what you were talking about and things like that. And it's nice little surprises as well, where you just think, actually, people are actually taking what I'm saying on board. Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned at the beginning about, you know, that client engagement as well. You can be in a position, can't you, where actually you're having a conversation with somebody and they go, oh, actually, my client was asking about that. Can we arrange a session, or can you kind of give me the information and I'll just pass it on to the clients and to read and things like that. And actually you kind of think you are actually adding value in kind of what you're doing. And I think that comes in times of, you know, no crisis as well as times of kind of disruption. I think it's kind of that double-edged sword, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, violently nodding as you say these things and smiling, because it's nice, those surprises, to see that is nice as a practitioner personally to then come out of the other side and see the benefits and the value come to life of what you're adding. And I'm sure our listeners will be feeling that way too. And if they don't, there's hope, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe if people don't feel that way, then that's natural, that's normal, you know, whatever we do, there's always going to be kind of peaks and troughs, right? But I think with any sort of kind of embedding program or anything that we're kind of doing, maybe just kind of if you're not feeling that it's going well or that people aren't getting the message that you're trying to kind of give out, it's maybe about taking that step back just to go, what's not working? Mm-hmm. What am I doing and how can I flip it? And because embedding, essentially, it's learning, isn't it? It's people in the organisation learning what you do and your processes, etc. So actually, if you're struggling to think creatively, I always think things like, bear with me on this one, but I always think things like kids' TV and the way that children learn things is actually a really good way to actually think a little bit maybe outside of the box. Okay. So, you know, have a look on kind of websites. I don't have children, so none are coming to mind right now. But yeah, things like the BBC Bite Size and things like that, you know, and look at the way that they use different kind of themes and methodologies to actually get the message across and see if there's anything you can pinch and put in a corporate environment. Because like I said, I think life is very serious, and I think if people go from one serious meeting to another, it gets very dry. So let's make it more exciting and bring in these kind of fresh ideas. And I think it kind of does help to bring people on the journey with you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Love everything you've said, and so true. Why are we trying to make things more complicated than they are? Embedding is about simplicity at the end of the day too. Yeah. And everything you've said really reinforces that. And wow, what an awesome episode, on fire with those tips and points. So thank you. We have come to an end. I feel like I could ask you 100 more questions, but if people are listening and you guys are listening and you have more questions or some tips, then get, you know, just drop us a note and or comment on these, and let's continue the discussion, because, you know, business continuity isn't just a week where we raise awareness. It's continuous, as Sarah has said. So before I close off, finally, Sarah, any last words, thoughts you have for me and the audience?
Yeah, I think for me it's about, I think we've covered this, but be creative. Don't get out the same thing year after year or time after time. You know, I think just generally as a profession, we've got so much more to give than maybe people give us credit for generally. So get creative, look at all the different options that you can have for trying to get kind of people on board and embed it. And it doesn't have to be a poster on a kitchen cupboard. Think outside of the box, and it'll really kind of help bring people on the journey with you, particularly if they understand the benefit to them, you know, right from the outset.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sarah, for sharing all your insights today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, no worries. And it's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you once again. And thank you all for tuning in and listening to this BCI Business Continuity Awareness Week podcast with me, your host, Reena Singh, and our guest, Sarah Gerrington. We hope you enjoyed it. To learn more about Business Continuity Awareness Week, head over to the bci.org/BCAW2021 and follow us on social media. Thanks again, and I will see you in the next episode.